We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want to take this next phone call. I got a reporter from ABC Radio who covered this last night, okay? So I want to, but we'll talk again, okay? You have a great, call tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right. Fist bumps or hugs or whatever you want. I always feel like I hurt her feelings. Matt Wolf. I want to welcome Matt. Hey, Matt. Thanks for the last second call. I appreciate you dropping in here. It's Matt Wolf from ABC News Radio. You do entertainment reports and stuff. We've been talking here on my show about the All in the Family Jeffersons
right.
episode last night. As a professional entertainment reporter, what was your quick take on it?
Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, I'm working for ABC, obviously, full disclosure here with this thing broadcasting on the network last night. When I first heard about it, I was just like, why are we doing this exactly? I mean, yes, it's a tribute to Norman Lear. The guy was an absolute genius, still is an absolute genius at 96 years old. And I'm like, how is this going to work? But I got to tell you, Jason, I don't know about you, with the exception of a couple of hiccups here and there, they absolutely knocked this one out of the park last night. Your caller just a minute ago, who you didn't have to hang up on, by the way.
Well, I was told you only have you're only here for like, I can have you for like 4 minutes. So I
we can hang for a while, man. Don't believe the hype. Listen, Jamie Foxx killed it, obviously, last night as George Jefferson. But I happen to really dig Marissa Tomei as Edith Bunker. And, you know, there was a little bit overacting here and there. Like, look, let's just be frank. Woody Harrelson trying to nail down a Queens accent didn't exactly work. It sounded more like an Alabama, Boston, New York thing. I don't know what the heck was going on.
I think Woody Harrelson, in all fairness, I think he nailed it one of the times. There were a couple times he had a few different accents. It was a little bit different. It's like me doing accents. I can get them a little bit, and then I miss them for a while, and then I can find it again. But it's an impossible task for all of them. You know, my only critique, it wasn't even so much of a negative as it was an observation. I thought, you know, and I guess, you know, had they done it the other way, people would have been all jumped all over them as well. They weren't putting their own, you know, take on the characters. They were more impersonating the characters.
Right. And that was a little bit of a, pardon me, that was a little bit of a rub for me too. It's like, you know, Marissa Tomei had Edith's walk down. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, you know, you can stand up straighter than Gene Stapleton. It's all right. No, the audience will give you a pass there. But there were some wonderful moments last night too. I mean, Marla Gibbs showing up, 88-year-old Marla Gibbs showing up as Florence, you know, but it was nostalgic, and it also takes you back to a time, Jason, where, as we know, television was very, very, very different back then. I mean, you know, you're hearing words last night on TV that you haven't heard since 1976, and some of those words had to be bleeped out, and it was striking when you think about what they were able to do with television back then. Now, think about this, too. They had a really great Nightline perspective on the two shows after the broadcast was aired. And you have to remember the time that All in the Family and the Jeffersons came out. You know, this was post-Civil Rights Movement. It was post-Vietnam. It was all of these things mixing together with a time in this country. And tell me if some of this sounds familiar. There were racial tensions. There was cultural tensions, conservative versus liberals, black versus white, real cultural arguments and clashes at the heart of these topics. And that wasn't an easy thing to put on TV to, you know, to laugh at it. But Norman Lear somehow accomplished that.
Matt, if you're able to hang on, I have to get to a news, you know, you can call back in 5 minutes if you want to go get a drink or something, or you can hang on and listen to the news if you'd like. Are you able to hang on for one more segment real quick?
I can hang for a bit, my friend.
All right. Do you want to call back?
Sure.
Yeah. We'll go back on around 5 after. Cool.
10-4.
Sounds good. Okay, cool. I want to talk a couple things in regards to what Matt Wolf just said. Matt Wolf is an entertainment reporter for ABC News. You know, one thing that I think being, you know, the fact that, again, we live in such a politically correct time, you know, we worry too much about offending people and not so much about why they're offended and the root of it. And I think a show like All in the Family did, you know, it did such a good job of getting people to look at their prejudices and look at where they were bigoted and to step back and go, do I look like that? Nowadays, we just kind of, we just shun people who act a certain way. Maybe there's much more to this that we can take from last night's airing of these shows. But we'll talk more with ABC News reporter Matt Wolf. I'm just kind of curious to hear, you know, he's, again, professional when it comes to entertainment reporting. I'm just an observer. This guy's got the goods. Sean's been hanging on. I'm so sorry. Sean, you've been on hold for like a half hour. So you had something to say about All in the Family last night and the Jeffersons. And my apologies, you got cut off there. And I wanted to give you just an opportunity to say what you got to say.
Well, I think that the remake is an attempt by Jimmy Kimmel and company to bring back the white audience that I believe the networks probably lost after they attacked the white population for voting for Trump.
But hang on, and so you think this is an attempt to bring back the white audience?
Yeah, I do. And I think that what these actors are missing is that there's so much more information available about what an actor thinks politically now than was the case when Carol O'Connor was on TV.
Huh. Okay.
So you can't go out and insult the audience after an election and then 2 years later decides you're going to remake a show that they really liked and think that they're going to come flocking back to you. So I think that this attempt is really not going to work.
You know, Sean, it's interesting because from your perspective, are you saying this was kind of almost like placating to the conservative audience?
No, I don't think it's placating at all. In fact, I think it's actually an attempt to insult the conservative audience. I think that it's an attempt to manipulate the white viewing population that has made television or so popular that did the first time around, right? So the viewers of those shows first time around were white working class families such as those from our area.
Where are you getting your demographic information? Just out of curiosity. I'm guessing it's just a hunch.
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay,
it.
That's fair. Okay, as long as you
that's it. That's just a hunch.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the remakes are going to be very popular, not because of the quality of acting. I'm sure that's fine. They're all good at what they do. But those actors are so offensive in the things that they say about the white voters. I just can't imagine anyone being able to sit through a show that those people are on. Same thing with Robert De Niro. I think he's done too.
Okay, and just because I want to get to Matt from ABC Radio real quick. Between Woody Harrelson, let's use him. He was Archie Bunker. What's something he has said about white voters that's bothered you?
You know, I don't know what Woody Harrelson said, but it doesn't matter because my opinion as a white voter is that after Trump was elected, all the actors went out and said terrible things about white people who voted for Trump. So for that reason, I won't watch it. I mean, I knew it was on. I wouldn't watch it. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, I think, you know, that's my problem when it comes to, like, blanket statements. I mean, I'll tell you this. He doesn't really act anymore, but James Woods would say, don't lump me in with actors. He disagrees. You know what I mean? It's not all the same perspective all across the country. I don't know. Matt?
Yeah. Interesting take. You know, listen, I'm an entertainment contributor, okay? I'm not going to hyperanalyze this thing from a political standpoint. I can see the point that people would make in reviving, you know, a show like, say, All in the Family or The Jeffersons and, you know, people saying that there's an agenda here for this and there's an agenda here for that. But at the bottom, you know, the bottom of everything, the bottom line here is that these were two shows that were set in very different eras, okay? I was telling you about this before. You're looking at two shows that were post-Civil Rights Movement, that were post-Vietnam, you know, when we were at a point where as race in this society was still coming into clashes with each other, these shows somehow managed to bring these issues to the forefront, and most importantly, make people laugh a little bit about our differences. Do you follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah, totally. And this is something I was going to ask you about. It's just an observation, you know, and I was born in 74, so I think I caught most, I had to catch All in the Family in reruns. but I know the impact it had. I've watched specials. I've heard interviews. The difference today, if a show like All in the Family aired, is that even if it aired as is, okay, the same type of controversial material, today we live in an era where people go to work, and if someone were to be like, did you hear them say blank on All in the Family?
Right.
The people would be like, whoa, you can't say that here.
One of the most stunning things last night was, you know, they took the same screenplays from these two episodes, the exact same screenplays that were 46 years old, and they left the language in there. And, you know, like you, I was a kid. I was born in 1970, so I watched all of these shows as a seven-year-old. Imagine a seven-year-old watching A Bunker from 704 Houses Street there, huh? And all the things that he was saying, all of these terms and everything. I'm like, what, where? And last night I'm watching it going, did they really say the bleeped word, which, you know, go look it up. I'm not even going to reference it too much, but the word that was bleeped last night wasn't originally bleeped in the original telecast. I went up and looked on the internet to that exact scene. I was just like, oh my God, you couldn't get, you'd be done in this industry if you dropped that word. But at that point, culturally and in society, Norman Lear took that leap of faith, took that, you know, breath of fresh air and said, you know, look, we're going to put this out there because this is a real issue that people, you know, may be talking about. Yeah. You know, the thing he said at the beginning last night was that Archie Bunker could represent anybody in this country. He could be your next door neighbor or whatever. The same thing with George Jefferson. Listen, when you look at George Jefferson and Archie Bunker, you know, Archie Bunker wasn't fond of black people. Well, guess what? George Jefferson wasn't fond of white people, but they found a way to somehow make those differences work on television.
But it was
some really, really funny ends.
Yeah, but it was also wildly clear to everyone that if Archie didn't like black people and George didn't like white people, they were idiots, and they just didn't know any better. It was so plain to see because you had black actors and white actors together.
Mm-hmm.
And then all it was a door, and they were acting like children, and it was a pure, they were just ignorant people. To go back to what I was saying, you know, it was okay to have these discussions, even if it wasn't debates, but like, oh my God, that was so funny. Did you see Archie met George Jefferson for the first time last night? Nowadays, people would be just so outraged. They would shame. I can't believe Archie Bunker. They wouldn't give him a chance for that character to, you know, show that he's human with flaws. He'd be a monster racist.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, on social last night, you know, people were chiming in saying, you know, we could never have these discussions today without somebody or some person or a specific group, you know, maybe becoming wildly offended at something. You know, look, bottom line is these shows taught us how to communicate, I think, on a different level than what we're used to now. And to see that framed through the medium of television, you know, from 1974, 75, whenever it was, I thought it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it was interesting too. I mean, there were parallels to today, of course, but I think we have to find a way. Like I just said this, I think it was before you came on, as opposed to remaking them, because you can't, like, as much as I thought it was good, you know, you can't remake the originals. But what I would love to see is ABC or any network take those shows, the originals, and say, you know, I don't know, Thursday nights over the summer, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about it. We're going to play an episode and then have a roundtable, like a discussion about the issues that were discussed and how they
affect. I tell you what, man, that's a very, very interesting idea because some of the topics, I mean, you know, look at, for example, Maude, for example. Remember the abortion episode, for instance? I mean, gosh, with everything going on today, imagine something like that playing on national television right now. But you're absolutely right. It's about the discussion. It's about discussing these hot button topics, and maybe something like a town hall in that regard isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah, because we're also at a point in our country where, you know, and I say this stuff a lot, but I'm like, stereotypes aren't the problem. It's believing the stereotypes that is the problem. You know what I mean? Like, there's a stereotype out there. I'm not religious Jewish, but Jewish is like, oh, Jews are cheap. Okay, that's funny, huh? You can make your cheap jokes all you want. Okay, but here's the thing. If you really believe every Jewish person is cheap, and then you're an idiot. Like, you need to, like, it's okay to have certain thoughts and bias, but have those discussions, be able to talk about them. And they made a comment last night on the show about context is key. You know, in these situations, yes, Archie said racist, hateful, kind of mean-spirited things.
Right.
But at the same time, there were other people there to point out how stupid he was.
Right. And it boils down to one word here, balance. It boils down to balance. And that's what the writers did so smartly back then. I mean, there are television programs today where you can point to, you know, this and say, okay, that was pretty balanced. Or you can say, yeah, that leaned a little bit too much left or a little too much right. You know, bottom line is, at least for me, is when I turn on a television show or I go to see a movie, whether it's Avengers or whether it's Game of Thrones, and you're happy with this episode or that episode, and, you know, why did they kill this character versus that character, a person of color or not person of color, you know, I try not to read into any subtext that's out there, because these are mediums that are here to entertain us, I think, first and foremost, when it comes down to things like, say, shows like Game of Thrones or, you know, over on Netflix, you know, Orange is the New Black or whatever the case is. We love our actors. We have our favorites, some not so favorite, as your caller said before. And, you know, when actors get political, my thing is, whether you agree with them or not, this is a free country. They're allowed to say what they want to say. And why does everybody have to be so overboard offended about everything? You know what? You can be offended for maybe a couple of minutes, but at the end of the day, why are we losing sleep over certain things like this? Do you follow what I'm saying? Just my opinion.
I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, and 7-year-old, I don't know, the 2-year-old would probably have a more intricate discussion than the 7-year-old probably. but I would let him watch those just to show him, like, this is how it used to be. And, you know, the kids have questions about race now, and it makes me wonder how they're going to process them. Because,
you know, I was watching last night when I was watching the show, I said, I'm going to go into the offices here, and I'm going to just take a quick Gallup poll survey, you know, of the 25 and 30-year-old somethings here in the office. Have you ever heard of this show before? And so many of them did not. Yeah. And they were watching these shows last night like, this was television in the 70s. This was entertaining. I mean, there's a real discussion going on in the offices here now, you know, just how everything was done. I mean, even down to the way they shot it with the cameras last night was exactly the way that Norman Lear framed everything back with the original episodes. I found it was fascinating. Think about TV show themes even. You can't have a theme song, by the way, like, you know, moving on up from the Jeffersons anymore because it's too darn long.
Yeah, seriously, they get right into it.
Jennifer Hudson did a great job with it last night, but, you know, think about all these intros to shows and everything today on network TV. You don't see that anymore. You remember The Love Boat? That was like a 2-minute epic soliloquy of the story of The Love Boat and how love is going to get you back and all of this. You can't do that anymore. They'll tune you out.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Because of my age and there, like, I remember The Love Boat, but I also remember at times wondering, why is that little guy pointing at the plane? There was a lot of things got blurred that looked similar. The boat was white. You know,
you're calling me the old guy is what you're saying.
No. It's just a few years difference there. And it's just because I remember those shows, but it wasn't until like a couple years later, like, oh, it's Fantasy Island and then The Love Boat. But look, hey, this is really fun talking to you. It's interesting just to hear someone with enthusiasm and just have a different perspective on something like this. But maybe we'll talk again. I appreciate the last minute setup here. It's been a little bit of a hectic week behind the scenes. And I had a couple things fall through at the last minute, and, you know. But this is Matt Wolf from ABC News Radio. How do people follow you if they want to find you online?
You can check me out on Twitter, Matt Wolf on Air.
There you go, Matt. Hopefully, we can talk again.
10-4, Jason. Take care.
Nice talking to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.